Digimon. Digital monsters. Digimon are the champions. But who is the best Digi-destined ever? Well, your geek history lesson on the best Digi-destined is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson, and you have stumbled onto the podcast where we take one character, construct, or digital monster from popular culture and teach you everything you need to know about them in about an hour. If you are familiar with the podcast, you might be wondering why it's just me at the beginning and why Jason Inman isn't here. That is because in this episode, we are doing Digimon, best Digi-destined ever, and we needed an expert. And so Jason acquiesced his seat so that we can be joined by actor, writer, weeb, and my gay boyfriend, Patrick McMillan.
Thank you so much. I love that introduction.
Thank you. Welcome. Patrick has been my good friend for a long time. And
almost a decade now.
I know. We're so old. And a longtime Geek History Lesson listener. Yes. You may have heard his name shouted out at the top of Avatar, among other episodes.
More recent episodes, yes.
Yes. So he's joining us today, and this episode is brought to you by none other than Toei Animation, who created Digimon, because we are celebrating the release of Digimon Adventures Last Evolution Kinzuna, which is in select theaters in the United States one night only on March 25th, the day before my birthday, at 7 p.m. local time. It is an English subbed U.S. premiere to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the franchise.
God. Oh, Jesus.
And Patrick and I are going to the Los Angeles premiere,
yes,
so you
are.
Better come and see us. And you can get your tickets at fathomevents.com/Digimon Kizuna. Thank you so much to Toei for deigning to come down from
literally.
The sky and let us talk about Digimon once again. We do have a past episode where we talked about the history of Digimon. So now we're doing the best Digi-destined ever. But before that, if people don't know, we're going to do the 10-cent origin. Patrick, do you know what the 10-cent origin is?
Oh, God. Yeah, the 10-cent origin is where we talk about, it's like the how Digimon came to be and everything like that.
I didn't prep him for that, so
yeah,
we're doing really great.
I'm going off the cuff.
Yes, so Digimon, a.k.a. Digimon, pretty sure I crushed that, is short for Digital Monsters. It was created by Akiyoshi Honga, who created the toys, and then spun out into an anime incarnation by Toei Animation, who is the company that basically created anime as we know it,
yes,
including Sally the Witch, Cutie Honey, Every Dragon Ball, Transformers, Yu-Gi-Oh!, and One Piece. And it was adapted by Viz Media into movies and Bandai into games. It is a Japanese multimedia franchise that encompasses virtual pet toys, you know, like your Tamagotchi.
Yeah, I was
going to say. Anime, manga, video games, film, and trading cards. And it revolves around the Digi-destined, who are human, usually little children, from our world that are tied to familiars that live in a parallel digital world. Hacking was really popular at the end of the 90s, if you didn't know.
Yeah, I feel like this came about in the time, kind of like in the very late 90s, like perfect, like cyberpunk, mm-hmm, kind of like Matrix-y almost.
This
like
was Matrix,
friendly,
but for children,
yeah,
right? Like,
absolutely.
Like for all of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is going to be a discussion episode where we break down the best Digi-destined ever. But before that, you know my 10-cent origin, I mean my meet cute rather, from when we did our Digimon history episode. So I'm going to ask Patrick what his meet cute for Digimon is. And the meet cute is the second part of the show where we tell you the first time we meted something and how cute it was. So Patrick, we're going to travel back in time.
Oh, God.
Oh, we're back in time. It's the 90s.
Oh, my God. I'm so much chubbier than I am now.
Oh, boy. Weren't we all?
God. Okay. So when did Adventure, the first season, start? Is what 97, 99, maybe?
Yes, I believe
somewhere
it was
in
90,
that range. Okay, so I remember very vividly that I actually had like one of the little pocket monster, like the little Tamagotchi, essentially, because they were marketed as the one for boys rather than Tamagotchi, because you know,
God forbid we didn't have gender toys.
God forbid we didn't gender our toys. But I remember going to summer camp. It was like the Y summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember playing in the grass, and I had, it was like, because I remember the Digimon toys were like little bricks. Mm-hmm. They looked like little brown bricks, and they had, and you could like select your character. And so I remember I purchased it at Kmart. I took it with me to summer camp the next day.
Does Kmart still exist?
Yes. I'm pretty sure it does, which I think is very fitting that this is a summer camp thing, because, you know, the whole thing of Adventure One is that they are all at summer camp together and they go to the digital world. But then I remember, obviously, so when I was a kid and I was watching cartoons or anything like that, I was always go between Fox Kids and Kids WB. Mm-hmm. And in North Carolina, where I grew up, Fox Kids was on channel 11, and then Kids WB was on channel 12. And I had a system. I had a system worked out.
Tell us.
So I would like wake up on Saturday mornings. I'd wake up. I'd watch like Beetleborgs, Power Rangers, VR Troopers, all on Fox Kids. And then I would switch over to Kids WB and I would watch Cardcaptors and like eventually Yu-Gi-Oh or anything on that. And so I had like a system. And I remember, I think it was post Power Rangers one day. So Mighty Morphin Power Rangers at the time, maybe Power Rangers Turbo even. Mm-hmm. That they advertised Digimon. Mm-hmm. And unpopular opinion, I think the Pokemon anime is terrible.
Yeah.
Because it's like, the kids don't age. There's no like overarching storyline or anything like that. And so it's like, I always loved the Pokemon games, but I always hated the anime. Mm-hmm. So Digimon really kind of took that placeholder, and it deals with a lot more adult themes. And so that's really kind of my meet cue, where it's like, I saw an advertisement for Adventure One or just Digimon in the States, and I didn't look back from then.
Do you still have a hard time? I have a hard time with the anime that I watched with an English dub where they changed all the names.
Oh, yeah.
Remembering all their Japanese names. So, like, they'll always be Matt and Joe and
Tai. Yeah, so it's Matt, TK. It's like Sailor Moon the same way for me. It's always Darien and Serena.
Yes! I have such a hard time when I go, because people ask me to talk about Sailor Moon, and I'm like, what's Sailor Jupiter's? Makoto. Mamoru.
I think it's like Lena or something like that in the US versions. Yeah, it's the same way with Dragon Ball and everything like that for me as well.
But now are you a dub or are you a sub person?
Oh, I'm definitely a sub person. Mm-hmm. I also am very thankful for that because, you know, I think especially coming off of like a Parasite winning Best Picture and everything like that, and like that whole thing where Bong Joon-ho was talking about, if you don't let the limit of a 1-inch bit of text on screen limit you, then it opens you up to a lot more possibilities. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm very much more of a sub person, especially like if I am watching like, say, an Attack on Titan, where literally they're just screaming all of their entire dialogue at each other, and then you watch like the English dub version of it where they're like just very calmly talking about turning into titans and being very dramatic about everything. It's not the same. It doesn't have the same effect.
That reminds me of when the Evangelion movie came out, which is just Asuka screaming for two hours. And I remember watching it in my basement in high school, my mom coming down and being like, what is happening? And I was like, honestly, who knows?
Also my favorite anime ever. So
someday we'll have you back and we'll try to explain Evangelion. I'm just really trying to get Jason to watch it. It's never going to happen.
Also, I would personally like to throw my name in the ring. If there ever is an Evangelion film adaptation, I would love to star in it some point.
Yes. I know how old you are. I won't say on the podcast because that's rude. You could play that role until you pass away.
Yes, literally.
Patrick is ageless. All right, let's head into our discussion. Here are the rules. Oh, and Ashley made them and had a hard time following.
I did too. Oh my God. Yeah.
So the members of our team are based on the original Digidestin. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a leader like Tai Chi, a lieutenant or a second in command like Yamato, an empathic character like Sara, a shy kid like Mimi, a tech whiz like Koshiro, a smart guy / doctor like Joe, a young gun boy like Takeru, a young gun girl like Kari, and then up to 2 wild cards. And this was the feature that threw off Patrick the most, because we were texting a little bit the other day when we were working on our teams, which made me laugh because that's a Jason Inman rule, because he's always just throwing people on his team.
I had gone through everything and like some of these came really easily to me.
Yeah, some are hard.
And some of them, like, there's a lot of overlap between like the seasons and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like my team has a very specific kind of sad boy vibe.
That's on brand for you.
Yeah, which is on brand for me. But the wild card threw me off because I was like, I am so confident in the team that I've made that I was just like, oh God, but I feel like if I have to have a wild card, it'll disrupt everything.
Yeah. They're just basically for people that you can't find a good enough reason to have on your team. We decided that we weren't going to pick their Digimon unless the character already came with a Digimon because we're not writing this new series until Toei reaches out and asks us to.
Yeah, absolutely. At any time.
Anytime. We're very easy to find on the internet. And the additional rules are we need one original Digidestined, three later generation Digidestined, one Marvel comic book character, one DC comic book character, one real person, dead or alive, and one character from another anime or manga. So if you've listened to some of our best ofs or our teams before, we usually don't have that many rules.
Yeah.
But I figured that since there's really only three, there's only really three super, super solid generations of Digidestined kids, this would give us more of a diversity to play with. Plus, maybe Batman will be on one of those teams. Except Patrick made a self-imposed rule.
Yeah, I went out of my way to make another self-imposed rule on myself where I decided that all of my characters on my team have to be children.
Why?
Because nine times out of ten, unless, like we said later on, we see these people grow up, the Digidestined are children, or they are approached to become Digidestined when they are a child.
And Patrick said, because I don't want Bruce Wayne
I didn't want to have
11-year-olds.
Batman be on a team of like 10-year-olds, even though, as Ashley pointed out, he already is on a team of 10-year-olds.
Yes, he is. So, I love the Robins, and we can never, ever, 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 ever have enough Robins.
Yes.
RIP to all of the dead ones. All right, so Patrick, I'm going to have you go first because you are our esteemed professional guest, and I am going to ask, who is the leader of the McMillan Digidestined generation?
All right, so when I thought about this the first time, I thought this was going to be very easy. I thought that I was going to, like, off the bat, choose my OG Digidestined.
Uh-huh.
Because I was like, how do you have a leader of a Digidestined team without Tai?
Yeah.
Because Tai Chi...
Look, we're going to mix the English and Japanese names, so hold your tweets.
He is, like, the paramount. He's, like, the first person that I really connected with on the show and everything like that. But I didn't choose him. Instead, I challenged myself, and I feel like I've given my bias away from my favorite season of Digimon because I chose... Rika Nanaka from Tamers.
Shut.
To be the leader.
The absolute
for
hella.
My team.
I picked the same character.
Oh my God, yes. That's amazing. Oh God. Okay.
All right,
so,
give me your whys.
So, my reason why is that she has probably, the second greatest character arc for any of the Digidestined over the course of the, I would say, the first four major seasons of
Ruthless
Digimon.
Ruthless Digimon Queen.
Yeah, literally. In one episode, there's a man that says that she's basically Kari with a punk edge, which is on brand for me.
Mm-hmm.
She
kind of looks like you if you would have been a girl.
Yeah.
Too.
So really, one of my favorite things about her is that, and something that I always like really stick with is like the greatest leaders are the ones that don't want it.
Yeah. And Tai really does want it. Like
Try,
he goes on to like be a soccer player and the captain of the team.
Yeah.
And
he's always like at the forefront of everything. Mm-hmm. Whereas Rika always wants to distance herself, and she's so driven by her own focuses. Mm-hmm. So she's initially focused only on making her Digimon Renamon, which I literally iconic.
All time most beautiful Digimon.
Like, the looks, gowns, beautiful gowns. She's only initially Opulence. Focused on making her partner as strong as possible, and she's aggressively pushing herself and Renamon to overcome all of these obstacles. And so she doesn't really have any interest in Takato or Henry, the other two Digimon tamers in her season. And she covers up a lot of her feelings with this whole tough girl act, from like the way that she dresses to the way that she has relationship with her mom to the way that she has relationship with her schoolmates, because they are children.
And there are a lot of characters who do point out that she's quite beautiful.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
In previous generations, especially with a character like Mimi, like we're talking about like how beautiful she is, and like Matt and Tai are in love with Sora.
Right.
And they all kind of lean into that. And she's one of the first female characters who sort of bucks the idea that like that's cool, but that's not my value.
Right. Another thing that I love about her is that she really does show that at her core that she really does care about Renamon.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially like later on in the season of Tamers, it really comes to a head when Renamon is in a fight with Harpymon, like another kind of rival Digimon, and that Rika was actually like willing to like interject herself and to like to give up her own life to push to make sure that Renamon is protected.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like showing that she's able to overcome this. It pushes Renamon to, you know, digivolve and to evolve into another plane of champion or whatever. And then after she after that fight, she really kind of starts opening up to her other teammates. Like, she comes together with the other two, or like, she's very kind to Jerry, mm-hmm. who over the course of the season has like this whole arc as well. But yeah, she's my leader simply for the fact that she's the one that doesn't want it.
Fun fact, did you know that she was originally, her design was influenced by Trinity from The Matrix?
No.
And then they kind of kiddified it a little bit and added the red spiky hair. And that's, I think when you look at her personality, you're like, yeah, it's very Trinity.
That. Yeah, I mean, especially like the goggles or like the glasses mm-hmm. that she's like constantly wearing. I can definitely see that overlap now.
Even that kind of like cold, distant personality.
God, queen.
She came to mind for me immediately because I love the first generation so much, which is why I love Try and all the movies. Like, I'm just keep telling those stories. The, you know, they can be 85. I'll still be here for it. It's
absolutely
great. And she was the first character of a later generation where I was like, I am in on who this weird girl in the park with the giant fox is. Absolutely. And as someone who felt like the weird girl in high school, like, she's one of the characters that I have always identified with the most. So when I sat down to make my list, I was like, it's gonna be Rika, no questions asked, and then built the rest of my team trying to complement her persona.
Same.
Even though I think my lieutenant and her would not get along, so we'll see how far my team makes it.
I wonder if we're gonna have any more overlap.
It's funny because I really felt like this was a good pull. I was like, he's not gonna pick Rika. Like, I feel pretty good with this. It'd be really funny if we wound up with entirely the same team. No, it wouldn't. It's not gonna happen. Okay. Let's talk about who your second in command is.
Oh my God. Okay, so this was also, I think this is the first one that I thought of immediately.
Okay.
My second in command, I feel very, because of everything that he has been through. And if you look at his character arc, it's very similar, and you see a lot of overlap between his character arc and Matt's. Character arc from Digimon Adventure 1. So my left hand, my second in command is Ken Ichijoji from Adventure 2.
Great character. You could say lieutenant. I know that I say it funny. Not my left hand.
Okay.
But someone on my team.
Okay. Hey.
So tell me why you picked Ken to be your left hand.
The reason why I picked Ken as my second in command, because he's both kind and courteous towards other people. He's supremely intelligent and he's athletic. And a lot of his journey stems from the guilt that he's felt from
being evil.
Yes, being evil. But I think it all kind of starts, and you see his entire guilt kind of stem from watching his older brother get hit by a car and unfortunately pass away.
Yeah.
And it's like when Ken was initially presented with the Digivice, which I'm a very popular conspiracy theorist that Ken was supposed to be one of the original Digidestined.
I believe that as well.
Because the Digivice that he is given is
the OG.
It's the OG. Yeah. And then turns into the Dark D3 when he goes into the Dark Ocean. So Ken kind of has a similar dynamic between Matt and TK. So it's like, yes, he has like this older brother that he kind of looks up to. Something goes wrong. He doesn't know really how to deal with that. He spends a lot of time in the digital world, and everything that he experiences, you know, then eventually has him turn into the Dark Emperor.
Yes. And you see him for a long time in that position before we kind of explore who he is. So he's just this nameless bad guy for a long time.
And then it's like at one point in Adventure 2, it's like he stops like living in the real world altogether, and he just commits to being the Digimon Emperor and everything like that. So I also like him the most, and I feel like he has the greatest support because he's actually one of the few to have his Digimon actually die. And, you know, as if you are a fan of Digimon, Digimon don't actually die. They just then go back to Primary Village and decide that they're a national egg form. But it's
kind of like the demons in His Dark Materials.
Yes.
They just sort of go back into the ether.
But he's deeply damaged and he's haunted by his brother's death, and then he feels guilt and is self-sacrificing. And I think that especially when you see him later on in the season after he's overcome the Digimon Emperor stuff, he and Davis mm-hmm. really kind of complement each other. And especially with Adventure 2, where you first have this idea of fusion, mm-hmm. where it's like you have...
Oh, which is so cool when that was introduced.
Yeah, when you have two Digimon kind of fusing together to have after like Omnimon and everything like that.
Yeah, or another Megamon. Reason why Digimon is superior to Pokemon.
Yeah, absolutely. but it's like, I think he just has like this amazing character arc where he's actually dealing with a lot of emotional mm-hmm. trauma. And then also like growing from that and then taking his place and helping these kids through this, especially like when they're fighting the Dark Masters and everything mm-hmm. like that later on.
So my second in command is my all time favorite Digimon character who you compared Ken to. And that is Yamato Matt Ishida. I love him so much. I have had the longest standing crush on him.
I knew immediately once you said we could have one OG character who's yours was going to be.
I love him. I have his Funko Pop. Out in the living room, or maybe on the set. I don't remember. It's the only Digimon Funko Pop that I have. He was like one of my first favorite. You said like sad boys.
Oh, yeah.
Where I was like, oh, he's just like so sad all the time.
Sad and then boys forever.
You watch it back now and you're like, it's not that sad.
Yeah.
This is anime.
Just angst.
Yeah.
So much angst.
But him and Rika actually have kind of a similar character arc where they start out as these stoic, distant characters, and then it's only through their attachments to their Digimon that they actually come out of themselves and become powerful and interesting and empathetic. Mm-hmm. And like Matt has this really difficult relationship with TK, and they don't live with the same parents.
Right.
Which, watching as a kid, I was like, that's weird.
Yeah.
Is that how child custody works?
I think also it's just like with Digimon, they are exploring all of these adult themes a lot more, like dealing with death, dealing with divorce, dealing with people having complicated relationships, like with adult figures or anything like that, where you don't like see that in a lot of other animes, unless it's like more targeted towards like teens specifically. Mm-hmm. But like this is targeted towards children, or it was initially.
Yeah.
And so it's like seeing Matt being the product of a divorce and seeing his struggle with that.
It's really powerful.
Yeah.
And then he's sort of the OG second in command because he works with Ty, and they very much butt heads a lot. Even when they're adults, like sometimes in Tri, I'm like, you are like fully 18 years old. Like, come on, boys, come on.
And they're constantly fighting over that leadership role, like whether it's in the series or like in the movies and the Tri series and everything like that. They're constantly just going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And they just, you know, need to kiss and make up.
Yeah, just like calm down a little bit. It's okay. But I think for that reason, he was the obvious choice for me. And because he, I think compared to Rika, is a little bit more emotionally capable.
Yeah.
So if something is going to come up, I think he would do a good job handling it. And I think because of his relationship with TK, he's actually a really good mentor figure. Like his relationship to some of the younger kids, even into Tri, is I think healthier than Ty's. And I don't know if that's because Ty and Kari live together or their personality types, but Rika's the one that I would trust to make the difficult, fearful decisions and to launch into things head first. And Matt is the one that I would trust to think about things, plan, and look out for the softness among them. But they're also going to fight a lot.
Yeah.
So this is a high drama team that I'm building.
I feel like Ken and Matt both are like the people that would point out when someone is overreacting or is going to call people out on when they're acting over the top or anything like that.
All right. Next, we have our empath, like Sara. And I couldn't think of a better word for that, but your character who's kind of the emotional glue, the one who listens to everyone's point of view and does their best. So who is your choice for your empath?
So my empath is my first time straying away from Digidestined altogether. I actually used my other anime character for my empath.
Nice.
And my character is Sakura Kinomoto from Cardcaptor Sakura.
Which I love her.
I feel like is not surprising for me because I professed my love for her multiple times on Twitter.
You're the reason that I knew that Cardcaptors was coming back.
Yes. So something about Sakura is that she's optimistic. Mm-hmm. She's a trustworthy character, and she's literally friends with everybody inside of her own anime. Mm-hmm. So Sakura, she's a magic girl. She opens a magic book where there are these magic cards, and
they're basically tarot cards.
Yeah, they're basically kind of like a tarot card, and her objective is to collect all the cards and gather her own magic, and then her magic eventually surpasses that of the original creator, and that challenges her a lot. But
she does also have a little animal pet.
She does have an animal familiar and a Angel Familiar as well, Yue.
Yes.
Who I love.
Oh, you mean her brother's boyfriend?
Yes.
Remember in the TV show when they tried to make them best friends?
Yes, and it's much more than that. But like Sora, almost, Sakura also kind of has a vicious temper.
Yes.
Because it's like they both, yes, they're both like the empathetic or like the more kind of caregiving people on the team, but they also have really bad tempers. It's like seeing her interact with Tomoyo or Shaoran or even her brother.
Yeah.
And so it's, and also some things about her that I thought would help with her empath is that she kind of has prophetic dreaming.
Yes.
Which is a supernatural and magical detection. And then she eventually throughout the series, she has a sense of powers, and like as her magic power builds, she can sense the power of the cloud cards or any other magical being.
She's also going to be the best dressed, and Mimi kind of set a standard.
Yeah, Mimi.
That somebody has to be the fashionista with that cowboy hat.
Oh, don't worry. That'll soon make a reappearance on my
nice.
Team. also about her is that she uses and creates her own cloud cards from her own inner magic, which I feel,
I remember when that happened, that was so freaking
as
cool.
As an empath is something that's very powerful because you're very emotionally connected to everyone else around you on the team or anything like that. So you've kind of build and you take from your own energy and everything like that. So that's
nice.
Why I chose her.
So my empath is a Digidestined, and it's one that Patrick already spoke very eloquently on. And so mine is Ken,
yes.
Ichijoji. And that is because I think that because Ken was formerly the evil Digimon Emperor, he understands some of the most complex dynamics about what it means to be Digidestined and to live as a single person in two worlds, or to be a person out of their comfort zone, kind of in that Captain America way. Patrick, huge Captain America fan.
The weight of my heart.
So I thought that he would understand what everyone is going through at any different times more than even Matt could. And Matt, I think, is a pretty understanding person. And I think he could also go head to head with Rika when she is being really hard headed or really difficult. I also think he's just a character that I want to see more of. And then the fact that later on he becomes the holder of the Crest of Kindness. So deep Digimon lore, they kind of go full Crisis on Infinite Earths Paragons
literally
with this, and there's different crests and like, and they're really beautiful actually.
And Ken is the only person, it's a, like the ninth original crest, and he's the only person to have that crest.
That's right. Yeah, because some of them get inherited by other characters later on. And they all sort of become these like avatars of certain things, and it's a really, really interesting arc that this character who is literally a faceless, nameless bad guy becomes the kindest person. And so when you're looking for an empath who's going to be able to meet you on your own terms, it has to be Ken. And he's a character that I also, because they tease us and try with characters growing up, I would love to see where he is now and like who he grew up to be. And I'm not foolish enough to think that we're going to get any of the later generations, but he's one that I would just tell me what he's doing, Toei.
Yeah,
I know you're listening because you're going to approve this episode.
Please.
So tell me.
Also, I just want to know that he and Wormmon are okay because I love Wormmon.
Oh, so cute. And also, please tell me he got a better haircut because right now him and I have the same haircut and it's distressing. But it'll make a really great cosplay someday. So yes, my empath, Ken Ichijoji.
Amazing.
All right. Shy kid, Mimi, who's your shy kid?
My shy kid is Mimi.
Yes,
queen. Okay, so I told you that I had a really difficult time, but I didn't actually have a really difficult time picking my OG Digidestined because I love Mimi.
Yeah.
I actually full-heartedly believe that Mimi has the greatest character arc of any Digidestined ever.
Explain.
Because Mimi is like the closest to a real person that and having real reactions that you get on the show. So she starts off as kind of like this prissy, spoiled, selfish character. I mean, she's literally a child who's been taken from everything that she knows, deposited in a digital world. So she's like moaning and complaining, and she throws tantrums and she's overacting, but she's constantly trapped in this digital world outside of her own. So she reacts just as you would expect if you were put in some other magical realm. And like, she's the only one that's like, why am I the only person like freaking out about everything?
Yeah.
So she doesn't, and what my favorite thing is that she doesn't become a superhero version of herself, which I feel like we see a lot with like the mats and the ties.
Yes, absolutely.
And like, even like with TK and Kari, like later on in the series, it's like they become kind of like superhuman versions of themselves. So like when, Mimi and the team are facing the Dark Masters later. Mm-hmm. She's the one that is, she's the only person like making graves for like all of their fallen friends. Mm-hmm. And she's the one like going out and talking to people and other Digimon inside of the world, trying to garner like strength and like forces so that they can take on these people. And if she hadn't have done that, I don't think later on in the series, like once they get up to Piedmon and everything like that, you wouldn't have the people kind of coming out at the end to do that. So I think that really kind of speaks to her strength in that she kind of overcomes the shy kid persona that she's created for herself. She befriends more Digimon than anyone else. She's the mm-hmm. one that's interacting the most with them.
Even in Tri, she's like the first one who really invites Mei on board for yeah. good and for ill.
Right.
But
yeah. She's funny. She like treats things like with sarcasm and comedy, I think, especially compared to like Sora or Matt.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
like she's the one that's like, so like Izzy has like a huge crush on her, and she kind of,
I want them to get married.
She kind of tempts him and like yeah. is kind of like egging him on and everything like that. And I mean, who else can rock a pink dress and a cowboy hat in the digital world and make that as fashionable?
Truly, I mean, if you think about that costume.
And I think one of my favorite things about Mimi is that she's the one that struggles the most, I think, especially at the end of Adventure 1, with saying goodbye mm-hmm. to her Digimon. It's like she goes through this whole kind of like heartfelt experience where she was so like off board of doing this whole thing mm-hmm. that by the end of it, it's like heartbreaking when they're on the train to go back to the real
yeah.
world and you see Palmon running alongside.
One of the best Digi designs as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing.
And it really kind of speaks to her journey and her evolution and her kind of sedimentary place in this team structure. Also like an LGBT icon.
I was going to say, not the last DragCon I was at, but the one before, I met a queen from Vegas named Anyanka Vergon, and she was dressed as Mimi. And
I
ran across the floor to like take a photo
LGBT
with this
icon.
Woman.
I mean, Lilymon's transformation, iconic.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely an iconic moment in my life.
I expect to see you dressed as a giant cactus for Halloween.
Oh, absolutely.
Here with boxing gloves.
Yes, please.
My choice for Shy Kid is a bit of a stretch, but I'm sticking by it. Do you remember at the end of Adventure 2 where the Digidestined kind of like teleported all over the world and we
yeah.
met these international crew
America
of them?
Yeah, yeah.
So I picked Mina, who is the Indian mm-hmm. Digidestined. And I think I have, do I have her last name written down? Nope. Just wrote Indian Digidestined. She is the one who Kari and Koshiro, aka Izzy, wind up teaming up mm-hmm. with. She lives right on the border of Pakistan and China. And she's really centered and really calm, in a lot of ways embodying the idea of what being Zen
right.
is. And they do wind up doing a lot of their fighting in Kowloon Park, which is in Hong Kong. And I loved the idea that Digimon came from all over the world, because when I was watching Digimon as a kid, I had no idea it was set in Japan.
Yeah.
Just assumed it
yeah,
was
absolutely.
Like
absolutely. You just assume it's wherever you're from.
Somewhere in North America.
Yeah.
And this was the first time that they opened up our side of the world.
Yeah.
And we got, it was like when Harry Potter introduced the American school.
Right.
And you got to see like, oh, cool. It's not just, you know, this like Mary Sue group of kids.
Right.
It's everyone everywhere. And she's always a character who her design, it's like a very classic kind of sari dress. Her design always stuck with me. She's the one I always wanted to know more about. And she's the one who felt the most mature.
Yeah.
Of any of the sort of auxiliary characters that we met. And I think for a shy character, I'm going more with the idea of a reserved character mm-hmm. than necessarily like a shy girl. But she would not necessarily be the person who would open up the most, because she is living in the reality of their world on a difficult border mm-hmm. where things don't always get along. She comes forward with these strangers to fight a war with a Digimon that she's not as practiced with, but she goes, and whose name is Meramon. They're kind of like a lava monster. Mm-hmm. And I just think she would be super cool. And I wanted to have a little bit more of an international flavor, even though we can pretty safely assume that all of our Digidestins are Japanese. So we're doing
yes.
pretty good by North American standards. But most of my characters that I picture, like, I just want to see more of them. So I'll huck them on my team and see what happens.
That was one of my favorite things about what Digimon did, especially like with when Digimon the movie first came out. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of...
Did you go see it in the cinema?
I absolutely did. I dragged my father. And he was miserable for the whole hour and a half. And I owned the album, the original soundtrack for it.
Oh my God.
I'm a hardcore fan. I think I also own it on DVD and VHS.
Nice.
That kind of, you're saying... It introduced a broader spectrum of Digidestined, and that it isn't just these eight kids from Japan.
Yeah.
And then that it opened up wider as like there are American Digidestined, mm-hmm. and it's not just like these eight chosen kids. It is a wider array of everything. I think especially like when you introduce like your Willis characters,
yes.
or any of the other like foreign Digidestined that they have, especially at the end of Adventure 2. It's like them going mm-hmm. all around the States and to India.
Which is so weird. Yeah, when they're in the States, it's so weird.
Yeah, it's
weird.
Like Mimi is like living in America and then going to like where the Twin Towers.
Right before Tri as well. She's like, yeah. She's like modeling. She's like, I'm 15, I model in America. And they're like, wow.
Yeah, and so I think that's something that I loved because it is establishing itself in our world.
Yeah.
Which makes it more appealing to me, which is something that I had against Pokemon, is that it is set in this kind of fictional kind of Westeros kind of styled area where there are all of these different islands and everything like that.
I think it's such an interesting reaction too to the way the internet worked, because if you look at Digimon and how the series have evolved, mm-hmm. it's very much a direct reaction to how our own digital culture has evolved
in the modern
world. And the best thing about the internet is that it brings weird people from all over the world who like the same thing together. Yeah. And to see that played out in like a macrocosm like that, I thought was so neat.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Next up is our tech wizard, our Koshiro Izzy type. Who do you have?
I so badly wanted to choose Izzy for this because I love Izzy. No, but yeah, I mean, I couldn't choose Izzy over Mimi.
Yeah.
Okay, so once again, I've kind of strayed from my Digidestined. I chose my Marvel character for my tech whiz, and that is Lunella Lafayette, better known
as Moon Girl.
The
smartest person in the Marvel universe.
With Devil Dinosaur. Yeah, so I chose her because... As we said, she's the smartest person in the Marvel Universe, said by Amadeus Cho.
Yeah.
There's kind of a similarity and crossover between like the Night Stone and the Digivice kind mm-hmm. of construct. She is like a 10 or 11 year old child. Mm-hmm.
She also has a magical pet.
She has a magical familiar. That's a dinosaur. So I said you could easily substitute Agumon in for Devil Dinosaur.
My gosh. Because, like a little red Agumon.
Yeah. Cause like even Agumon has that arc where mm-hmm. Tai is so like inherent trying to get him to Digivolve that it turns into Skull Greymon and everything like that.
Great design.
Yes, absolutely. Iconic. And so she's kind of used to kind of like coexisting with another being because, you know, how she can fuse in and out with Devil Dinosaur. Mm-hmm. And I thought that her ability to communicate with other animals or other creatures would be a great feature, that if she were to able to fuse with her Digimon, she would be able to talk to other Digimon
so
or anything
smart.
Like that. And then... she has a similar, I guess, like concept design to Izzy, like when she has like all of her gear
so
on.
Funny.
So that's why I chose
Moon Girl. So fun. I love Moon Girl.
I do too. And she's a newer kind of construct mm-hmm. in Marvel Comics and everything like that. But I think she's a great addition.
I love her so much. We read a lot of Moon Girl when we were writing science. Because I was like, this is what I want it to be like. My tech whiz, none of the rest, I use up all my Digidestined. So all of these are outside of the Digiverse, is my DC Comics character. And I think to nobody's surprise, it is Timothy Jackson Drake Wayne.
Of course. Also something I completely expected of you.
The third Robin, the best comic book character of all time.
Also my favorite Robin, which Ashley and I connected on when we were first meeting.
During our extra, we're going to talk about how we first met because
amazing.
It's a funny story. During the stick around. So now you have to stick around for hashtag stick around. Tim, when he was first introduced, was super, super smart. Mm-hmm. He figured out the identities of Dick Grayson and Bruce Wayne when he was 10 years old, broke into their house, demanded to be Robin. And it's true. And he was created a few years before I was born. So it's always brings him close to my heart. But in the 90s, like we said, hackery was very popular. And so Tim was a computer, I guess, hacktivist, which is a word that I despise with all the deep, dark parts of my soul. And he was known for being great about the internet and coding and all kinds of stuff like that. So I think not only does he have obviously the work ethic and the drive, and I'm pitching like a 15 or a 16 year old Tim, so he'd be one of the older members, but not like in the comics, he's basically an adult now. Not like that. I want him to be a child. But I think because he comes out of that same zeitgeist, but just from a different tradition, I think you could plug him in and he'd be like, oh, great. Digimon Digital Monsters? No problem. Yeah, I've got this. I built my own pet digital whatever, and it will enhance my Digimon. It'll be great.
Yeah, I feel like Tim would be somebody that would be able to kind of like school some of the younger kids on like Digimon, and like he would also be a great like strategist compared with Matt and Rika.
Well, he's actually probably the one who would be best positioned to be leader, but like we learned in Titans, Tim, although very smart, is not, doesn't necessarily carry like the charisma like a Dick Grayson does to lead a team. So that's why I wanted to put him in this position. Also, because I couldn't think of anyone else. So I was like, I'll just make it Tim because, of course.
I love that.
Why not have Tim on as many teams as possible? All right. Next is our smart guy / Dr. Joe type.
Ooh.
Joe, one of the only ones to retain his name in both the English and the Japanese dub.
Which I think is crazy because it's like you have, you know, a Yamato or Takaru, and then you have Joe.
Yeah. Mimi as well.
Oh, yeah. Mimi. That's true.
Yeah. Joe. Such a bummer intro. Who is your doctor?
Okay. So my smart guy doctor type actually is another... he's another Digidistant from a different season. Same season as Rika. Also the companion of my favorite Digimon... ever, Terriermon. So my person is Henry Wong.
Henry's so cute.
Also, yes.
Also, I believe retains, I think his name is Henry in the Japanese version as well.
It is.
It's just,
yeah.
Which is fine.
Major crushes on Henry before I knew
what a sweet baby
what was
angel.
Having.
I love that for you.
So I chose Henry because he's calm and level-headed. He's very mature for his age, kind of like Joe is. Like, he's always constantly thinking about, like, where he's going to go like next in life or anything like that. He's a pacifist, which I think is very kind of necessary for this team.
A nice companion to Ken as well.
Yeah, a nice companion to both Ken and Rika because I feel like they're very much kind of like always on the defensive.
Yeah.
they're very much like the person that would like stand up and be like, hey, like you want to fight? Like, let's go.
Yeah.
But
I don't even think Rika would ask. She'd just hate you.
Yeah. And Ken or, Henry actually prefers not to fight, and so he has like all of this study of like martial arts and everything like that, which I think would be, and he did martial arts and he used his skills that he learned to actually hurt someone, and that's kind of how he kind of gained this whole pacifist stance, because he never wanted to do that ever again. So he's like very adamantly had this instilled in him that he wants to be a pacifist, even when he is he does get his Digimon Terriermon and he's training with him. It's like he doesn't allow Terriermon to absorb any Digi data or DNA or anything like that.
Terriermon is like one of the Digimon that is the most gift. Whenever you are on Twitter trying to find a Digimon gift,
sweet
it's
baby.
All Terriermon.
I love him. He's like a rabbit dog hybrid.
The ears are amazing.
I love him so much.
The unicorn horn
sweet
for
baby.
No reason.
Yeah. He's very also kind of quiet and introverted, so kind of fits in with my sad boy motif. He later on realizes that he's always kind of going back and forth with like, what is my reason that I'm doing this? What is our reason why we're fighting or doing anything like this? And ultimately it comes down to that he realizes that he wants to protect the lives of others and that that is what is his driving factor and is what pushes him as a tamer. And
nice.
I really think that would fit in great with my team.
My smart guy is a smart gal. And they are a Marvel Comics character, and we did see them. Now they're more known for being like a middle-aged lady. We did first meet them as a teenager when the man that they would go on to marry was a grown-up person living in their house, and that is Sue Storm.
Oh, okay.
Because I think Sue Storm is super cool. She's low-key the most capable person ever.
Absolutely.
In anything. And even though she doesn't come with a baked-in familiar, she does know how to balance really difficult personalities, which I have top heavy crammed onto this team, and she's very, very powerful. So you could have her, if you wanted to do it within the world of, in the rules of the digital world, if she retained her powers, then even though she doesn't have a Digimon, she's still one of the most useful people around. Yeah. And she's used to dealing with aliens and extranormative threats. So nothing that you can throw at her here is going to be is going to be any scarier than Galactus.
Yeah.
I also think that Sue's just a character that we should see more of independent of Reed. Yeah. So Sue Storm is my
I think that's so smart because I completely agree with you. I think especially like with her having to tackle the personalities between her brother Johnny or Reed or even like her children later on.
What do you mean? Franklin is a sweet baby angel.
You know. I think that's super smart and also very cohesive.
She was my last addition to the team and I was like, what Marvel character am I? And then I was like, oh, Dud has to be Sue.
Yeah.
All right. Next is our young gun boy, kind of like a Takaru type, someone new who would be completely baffled by what is going on. Who did you pick?
I struggled with this one.
Uh-huh.
So I really, because I think both the TK and Kari kind of people I kind of struggled with the most.
And it's a similar type. We have a young gun girl and a young gun boy.
Yeah.
If you want to, we can talk about them both at the same time.
I think the person that I ultimately ended up on, I think kind of fits because he is out of time.
Mm-hmm.
He's misplaced. It is not. So I chose my DC character for this, and I chose Bart Allen.
My sweet, the best Flash.
Yes,
I love him.
So I chose Bart Allen because of his strange origin, his inability to age at a consistent rate. So it's like constantly, like he's either introduced like as a teenager or like a child or anything like that. So that
And in his first series, he really looks like an anime character with that hair.
And so, obviously, you know, he has his arc of becoming a Flash, and he was killed by the Rogues and Full Throttle, and then resurrected in Final Crisis, and all of this connection through the Speed Force. But it's like something that I think would be so beneficial for my team is that he does have a photographic memory.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that is read, seen, or heard, he would be able to recall that. He has hand-to-hand combat, which I think that he would, in companionship with his Digimon, whoever that would be useful because I feel like a lot of my team is more on the reserved side.
Bart is definitely not that.
Yeah, and also I think I really needed kind of a hyperactive or a vivacious character to kind of offset like your Rikas or your Kens or anything like that. And I could also just see Bart like, you know, like constantly like flirting with like Mimi or Sakura or anything like that.
Oh my God, what a nightmare.
But I think that, so that's what I decided for my DC character.
You know, I'm so glad that you brought up Bart Allen because Bart is a huge part of Blackest Night.
Yes.
And if people want to know more about Blackest Night, that's after he comes back to life and he's Kid Flash in that. If you go over to patreon.com/Jawin, that's JAWIIN, not only do you get an extra Geek History Lesson episode called Geek History Lesson Extra, where Patrick and I are going to stick around and recommend more anime for you to watch.
Oh my God.
But you can join Blackest Night Club, which is only $3 more. Figure out what's happening with Bart Allen. We are covering the Teen Titans tie-in issues. Instead of Crisis Club, where we did one issue per episode, we're doing 3 to 5 exploring Blackest Night Club. Be sure to go over there, get all the swag. And thank you if you're already a patron, patreon.com/Jawin. All right, my young gun is a character who's frankly useless to this team, but I really like Frodo Baggins.
Oh my God.
Because everyone needs a person on their team where you're like, what are you doing here?
True.
What are you good at? And that's kind of what the Fellowship was. And Frodo saved the universe.
Yes.
And I just love him.
Quite literally.
Truly. You know, by accident. But he did it. So I was like, this will be funny. I'll put him on my team. And that was my only thought behind it. Was like, he's really, really innocent and kind of useless.
Oh, he would be so sweet, though.
So I'll put poor Frodo here. And, you know, he would look after all the Digimon.
Yeah.
And he'd make them carrot stew and tell them stories about Rivendell. But no real life skills, if we're going to be completely honest. So that's my young gun is Frodo Baggins. Who's your young gun girl?
Okay, so my young gun girl is my real life person.
Yay!
She is someone that is still alive and kicking.
Good.
So I was trying to think of like in the zeitgeist of the world and like social media and everything like that, who is a child that is very active
I almost said Gigi Gorgeous as a joke.
Oh, my God. No, I actually chose Greta Thunberg.
Yes, icon, legend.
Yeah, who, if you're not familiar with her, she's a Swedish environmental activist, kind of focusing around climate change. Mm-hmm. Very recently at the UN Climate Action Summit, she very famously had this speech where she was like, you know, I'm a child. Why should I be panicked and focusing on these things? Like, how dare you? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I should be in school, but I'm here, like, fighting for these things because none of the rest of you will. And so I think having her, if you deposit her into the situation, because a lot of this, the inner turmoil with the digital world is that the digital world is falling apart. Mm-hmm. We see, like, this kind of environmental or climate kind of aspects between the digital.
As the pixels are fading out. Yeah.
As between the digital world and the real world. And I feel like she would be one of the first people to kind of accept everything in this new reality, mm-hmm. but also would be a champion for, like, kind of a homeostasis between the two realms.
Look at you with $1,000 words, homeostasis.
I mean, like, this is someone who was Times Person of the Year. Yeah. I think also it's because she does, like, have a handicap. She, mm-hmm. like, does suffer from OCD, and, like, she has bouts of select mutism. Mm-hmm. So she has to find other ways to communicate, which I think can be very good for my team or anything like that. And then she famously said also that she only speaks when she feels that it's necessary.
Yeah.
And so it's like when...
Not us, not here on Geek History.
When she says something or when she does something, which I think speaks a lot for itself.
Wow. Mine's from an anime.
Amazing.
My Young Gun girl is my favorite pink-haired Sailor Senshi, Chibiusa.
Oh my God.
AKA Sailor Mini Moon. AKA Reenie.
Yes.
She, along with Makoto Sailor Jupiter, is my favorite Sailor Senshi.
Oh, yeah.
She is basically serves the Kari role, but on her own show. She grows up to be evil. So her and Ken could maybe, you know, in an alternate universe.
Yeah.
I think they could really connect over that. She would be, you talked about having like an effervescent personality with Bart and someone to bring like a little bit of joy and levity. And I think she could definitely do that. She comes with a magical unicorn who also is kind of her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And also comes with a girlfriend with a giant key. Yes. So she has a couple familiars
Luna
to
ball,
make her.
Everything.
Yeah. Luna Ball. Oh, my God. And Diana, too. The little tiny kitty. So she's like a full arsenal.
I'm so mad that I didn't think of her when I was thinking of this.
I actually thought about Sakura first, but I thought you'd pick her.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah. Like, that was a no doubt for me.
Yeah. So that's why I went with Chibiusa. I love her so much. And because she already fills that role on one show that's very similar, she would fill this role. On this show, she'd be the most fashion forward, and she would also probably be low key the most powerful character because Sue Storm is really powerful. Yeah. But Chibiusa is like the queen of Neo Tokyo, so she has a lot of sway. And there's not enough beautiful fighting girl tropes in Digimon. There's not enough people with pretty hairs.
Yeah.
So we needed a pink haired girl. And so for that, I picked Chibiusa.
Also, I think talking about kind of out of time displacement or anything like that, it's like she's literally from the
an
future.
An alternate future. Or a version of
so
her.
So she would, I mean, growing up in the palace on the moon.
Mm-hmm. Silver Millennium.
Going to the digital world would be like nothing for her.
Truly. She'd be like, I had to go live in my mom's house when she was 14.
Yeah.
This is fine. I also love that she can't stand Serena. That makes me laugh so much. And then we have a wild card category, which Patrick refused to pick someone for.
I have a pick.
That's fine. But so my wild card, I was looking at this and I still realized that I didn't have people who were like really, really, really good at feelings. Ken is probably my person who's best at feelings, and then maybe Sue. But these are all characters who are pretty driven and pretty focused, even a character like Frodo. So I picked somebody, this is my real life person, who I love very much and is very good at listening to my feelings and replying with the appropriate meme, and I put Patrick McMillan on my team as my wild card. No, it's not. So you're the adult shuffling all of these children around.
Oh my God. Oh Jesus.
You're like, hold hands, walk on the silver line.
Oh God. Okay. I mean, I do know how to wrangle children. Yes. So it's fine.
In your Barney t-shirt.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is a real shirt that Patrick
absolutely
has.
Absolutely.
So that's my wild card. And that's my whole team.
Oh my God.
Would you give us a rundown of everyone in your team? You don't have to say their jobs, but just who you put on your team.
My team consists of Rika Nanaka from Tamers.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Ichijoji from Adventure 2, Sakura Kinomoto from Cardcaptor Sakura, Mimi Tachikawa from Adventure 1, Lunella Lafayette or Moon Girl from Marvel, Henry Wong from Tamers, Bart Allen from DC, and Greta Thunberg from Real Life.
From Real Life. And my team is Rika Nanoka from Tamers, Yamato Ishida from Adventure 1, Ken Ichijoji from Adventure 2, Mina from Adventure 2, she's the Indian DigiDestin, Tim Drake from DC Comics, Sue Storm from Marvel Comics, Frodo Baggins from The Lord of the Rings, Chibiusa from Pretty Guardian, Sailor Moon, and Patrick McMillan from Sitting Across From Me.
Oh my God.
As soon as we did it, I was like, it's got to be Patrick. It can't be. It can't be anyone else. So let's go right into our recommended reading, which is where, if you enjoyed Patrick and I talking, it is where you can go and read or watch. It's going to be watching this week. Extra things at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. If you pick this up through Amazon, Jeff Bezos gives us some of his money. So go buy as many as possible and let's bleed him dry. So our recommended reading for this week, I'm going to specifically put Blu-ray or DVD copies of all of the seasons that we pulled characters from. And then I'm also going to include a complete Digimon and then a Digimon Tri collection so that you can go over there and collect those. Don't forget that you can get your tickets to Digimon Adventure Last Evolution Kizuna. If you're in Los Angeles, please find Patrick and I. We will be screaming and crying.
Yeah,
and
literally.
Take photos with us. Yeah, absolutely. We have a teaching tweet for this week, which you can find at GHL Podcast because Jason can't be here to complain about it. And also, if you want to share your team with us, following our rules or not following our rules at GHL Podcast is the best way to do that. And it's the same teaching tweet I use for the Digimon lesson because it is solid. Digimon, digital monsters. Digimon are the champions. Read like my countryman, William Shatner. Now we're going to move into our honor roll segment, which is where if you go over to Apple Podcasts and you give us 5 stars, we'll read whatever you write. Truly, anything.
Literally.
And including the ones where you're mean. And if you do that internationally, please take a screenshot and email it to geekhistorylesson@gmail.com because of the way the internet is, we can't access them. So the first person joining us in the teacher's lounge today is Ethan N. Torres, who says, great geek podcast. Whether or not you prefer cruising through space on the USS Enterprise or flying through Metropolis, you will love this podcast. Jason and Ashley are very knowledgeable on comic books and all geeky things you would like to know. They play really well off each other and are great at teaching. I discovered this pod a year or so ago and I love every episode. There's something here for everyone. Also, Jason and Ashley, if you're reading this, an America Chavez episode would be awesome. It would be awesome. Thank you, Ethan. And joining Ethan is CLC5104. Fam, use your names. They say, I love this show. I listen to a ton if there's a way to weigh digital media, that is. Ooh, too many ways. Of podcasts, and Geek History Lesson is by far one of my favorite shows. The hosts are well-informed and entertaining to boot. If you're interested in going into a deep dive about individual characters or concepts of geek-centric themes, this is the show for you. Check it out. You won't regret it. And rounding out our Teachers Lounge inductees today is John J. Swanson, who says, I love this podcast. Don't at me. That's right. Don't at me. And they say, I absolutely love this podcast. I've always been a huge comic book fan, and I love to listen to this while I'm at work. I'd like to thank both of you for doing this, and I'm wondering if you could either do a GHL on Starman, especially the James Robinson one, because it's very difficult and expensive run to collect, or a Geek History Lesson episode on the best Flash characters or villains of all time. I'm a huge Flash fan, especially Wally, the greatest Flash ever.
Absolutely.
Thank you, John. Script H16. Oh my goodness, sweet baby. Angel, 16 years old. Oh. I love you. You're adorable. So welcome, John J. Swanson, CLC5104, and Ethan N. Torres to the Teacher's Lounge. Mr. McMillan is in there today teaching you all about hacking. We have someone in our listening audience who's made a list of all our teachers and what they teach.
Oh my God,
and
yes.
Someday we're going to do something with that, but who knows what it is.
Yes, I'm here to teach you all about hacking, and I'll also let you use my reusable K-cup.
Ooh! Yes, because K-cups are bad for the environment. We got to do Greta good.
Yeah, we got to do that environmental thing.
Before we wrap everything up, Patrick, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me. Long time listener, fan of the pod.
Long time friend. Can you tell everyone online where they can follow you, where they can scream their opinions at you, and where they can send you gifts from Call Me By Your Name?
Yeah, so if you want to follow me or at me, please feel free. You can reach me on either Instagram or Twitter at P.E. McMill. So that's P-E-M-C-M-I-L-L.
Yay!
I look forward to hearing from all of you.
Yes. And don't forget that you can follow the podcast and request episodes like all of the amazing TAs we didn't have this episode by following us at geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, or on Twitter at GHL Podcast. You can follow Jason on Twitter and Instagram at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. Go tweet at him and tell him to watch Digimon. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ashley V. Robinson. The V is very important. And let's do hashtag stick around so you stick around through all of our plugs. Patrick, let's tell the story about how we met.
Oh my God.
What were we rehearsing? Narnia?
Yeah, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
So when Patrick and I first trundled out to Los Angeles, where we were both cast in this production of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I think I shared the anniversary picture of it last year.
Yeah.
We did it in the summer. I'm fully sunburned in the photograph. Patrick played Mr. Tumnus. I punched my microphone. I'm so passionate. I played Edmund because we had too many girls.
Yes.
And on our very first day of rehearsal, Patrick had like a chibi Captain America phone cover.
Yeah, my foam kind of cap.
It was huge, too. And it was before phones were like really, really big.
Right.
And I remember standing over you because you were like kind of pretzeled up as you were wont to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, so... You like Captain America?
Yeah, you're like, so I hear you like Captain America.
And you were like, yeah. And I was like, the comics or the movies? And you were like, both.
Both.
And I sat down and said, okay, we can be friends.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to be honest, meeting Patrick's the best thing that ever happened to me out of coming out of that theater company.
Yeah, I think also like, I think kind of throwing it back, it was like another follow-up question was like, oh, who is your favorite Robin?
Yes,
and without
course.
A doubt, I said Tim Drake. Drake. And you were like, okay, no, like, but we can actually be friends.
I think we're some of the only people with training too. Is like Patrick and I used to talk smack about people's accent
work
in that. Not naming any names, but our Peter definitely was doing a Doctor Who impression and it wasn't region appropriate, but that's okay.
That's all right, you know.
That was, it's one of my fondest memories. And
absolutely.
We got some great photos where we look very young.
Oh God.
We were young.
We were such babies.
We're so old now.
Recently like saw a picture like from that time.
Your eyebrows were huge. I forgot
my
that
eyebrows
you were
huge.
Coloring in your eyebrows for that.
Yeah. My eyebrows were huge. My hair was about like three times longer than it is now.
Yes.
I was like gaunt looking because I come from a place where there's like no sun.
Yes.
And so being in California was very, a transitional period for my skin. But yeah, it was amazing. I met one of the strongest friendships that I have in my life.
Yeah.
There.
So there you go. Thank you for sticking around through our plugs. Don't forget, we're going to be talking more Digimon on Geek History Lesson Extra, more anime, more otaku stuff at patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. Professor Patrick, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And class is now dismissed.